Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
Somewhere within the great granite state of New Hampshire, where the state motto is still live free or die. It is not big government or bust. It is Thursday, June the 4th in the year of our Lord, 2015. And I'm coming to you live tonight with a very special guest. I am thrilled and honored to have this gentleman speaking with me this evening. He is a retired lieutenant colonel from the United States Army and a former representative in the House of Representatives out of the Florida's 22nd District. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mr. Alan West. Colonel West, thank you for being here with me this evening.
Rod, it's a pleasure to be with you, and I look forward to seeing you in person when I come up to New Hampshire in October.
That would be absolutely awesome. Yeah, I know this state is we're getting geared up for the presidential race, and I know that you have said that you are not going to be running for president, but sir, you have to know that people are trying to draft you.
Well, you know, I this is not the NBA or the NFL, but I'm very humbled by that. You know, our office here at the National Center for Policy Analysis in Dallas, Texas, is about 2 miles away from where Rick Perry just announced today in Addison. So, you know, we got a deep bench. We would probably have 15 to 16 individuals running on the GOP side. I am happy to be able to support my country and serve my country in whatever capacity, but you know, right now God has me in a great position working as the president and CEO of a fantastic conservative free market think tank that's been around for 31 years.
And that is the ncpa.org. Could you tell us a little bit more about what they do, what your goals are over there?
Sure. www.ncpa.org is the website where the National Center for Policy Analysis, it has been around for 31 years as a free market, private sector, solutions to some of these, public sector government issues. We think that that's the way that we can restore our economy and, secure our energy, resources and also promote our strong national defense. So we focus on tax and entitlement policy, education, healthcare, energy, and now that I'm here, we can do more in the realm of national security, which, as you know, what just recently happened down in Boston, Massachusetts, national security, and we see what the spread of militant Islamic jihadism is becoming more of a pressing issue for the American people. So as we got about 20 to 23 on staff down here in Dallas, 3 in Washington, D.C., and then another 15 to 20 research fellows and academics that do writing work and research for us. And so we are constantly busy. So please visit us at ncpa.org.
You know, you brought up what's happening in Boston, or what happened in Boston recently. They shot a suspect. They arrested a couple more. And at the same time, we're seeing what ISIS is accompanying or accomplishing out in Iraq. And from your perspective, do you see how bad this administration's policy is? And do you think that we've totally unraveled from the original footprint and policy that we've gained over there under the Bush administration?
Well, absolutely, and I can't, you know, today you had a very delusional statement from the House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, who tried to blame General David Petraeus. General David Petraeus did what the operational theater commander was supposed to do. He had victory, and we had defeated al-Qaeda in Iraq. And I served in Iraq in 2003. I was in Afghanistan from 2005 to 2007 as a civilian military advisor to the Afghan army. So we had made incredible gains. But when you have an intransigent ideologue, such as President Obama, who believes that national security strategy should be based upon campaign promises and not the reality of the enemy, then all of a sudden you steal victory from the jaws, you steal defeat from the jaws of victory. And so we now see that the vacuum that was created, and he touted as what was going to be a great accomplishment, ISIS, the Islamic State, has come in, and they have huge swaths of territory extending from Syria to Iraq, but their influence is growing all across the globe. As a matter of fact, the United Nations report last week said that in the last 9 months, ISIS has grown by 70%, and they are recruiting in 100 different countries. And it was very odd that just yesterday, the Deputy Secretary of State comes out, and he gives a battle damage assessment saying that our airstrikes have killed 10,000 ISIS fighters, but then when they are asked about the means by which they could get that assessment, no one seems to have any clue about where that number came from. So this is just the smoke and mirrors of this administration, who refuses to admit that their strategy to deal with Islamic jihadism and terrorism is failing.
Now, this is an administration that's also trying to put together a nuclear deal with Iran, and everybody knows they are a major sponsor of terror. And it just came out that Iran has more nuclear material, processed nuclear material, than we originally thought. Is that accurate?
Yes, it is absolutely accurate. That came from the IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Administration, through the United Nations. They do the monitoring. Since we have gone into these quote-unquote negotiations with Iran over the past 18 months, we have seen a 20% increase of enriched uranium. And this is something, once again, that I believe in February of this year, President Obama said that they had frozen this enrichment, and this was not continuing on. And we know that the Supreme Leader has said, number one, he wants the sanctions to immediately stop. Number two, he will not have any type of inspections of military installations. There will not be what we call snap inspections or surprise inspections. So basically, they're saying that they're going to continue to do whatever the heck they want. And he has said that there's nothing that not a damn thing the United States can do about that. Why are we sitting at a table, Rod, talking about negotiating with a country that is holding four Americans hostage? Jason Resnian, who is the Washington Post reporter, Robert Levinson, a former CIA FBI agent, Amir Hekmati, a former United States Marine, and Saeed Abedini, an American pastor. They're being held by Iran. Why are we sitting down and talking with a country that, you know, their supreme leader is joining in chants of death to America and death to Israel? This is unconscionable.
You know, they have four Americans currently. It seems that the number four is recurring. I do believe that back in the late 70s under then-President Carter, there were 444 Americans that were held hostage by this same state.
Well, those were the days. Those were the days that they were held. Those were the days that they were held. And amazingly enough, when Ronald Reagan won election, not when he was sworn in, but when he won the election against Jimmy Carter, they were released. And see, that's what they understand in that part of the world, Rod, is strength and might, resolve. You know, recently when the president had his Middle Eastern summit and he invited six member states of the Gulf Cooperation Council, and four of them said, you know what, we're not coming. And as a matter of fact, one of them, instead of coming to sit down with the President of the United States at Camp David, he went to a horse race with the Queen of England, Queen Elizabeth. So when the President stands and talks about how great the respect that he has, you know, brought back to the United States of America, as Vladimir Putin, as, you know, the Ayatollah Khamenei, as the ISIS fighters, as, you know, Boko Haram, as the Taliban, as Xi Jinping of China, who have built man-made islands and are emplacing artillery on those islands, and those islands are right in the transit of about 30% of the sea lanes of commerce for the world. we don't have regard and respect in the world because this president draws red lines and then all of a sudden they don't exist.
Well, Colonel, he said that we are now, once again, the most respected nation on the planet. So you're not buying into that one.
No, I'm not buying into that. And look, I grew up in the inner city of Atlanta, Georgia. And, you know, if a bully respects you, he doesn't pick on you. We are being picked on left and right. Our allies do not trust us. They have no confidence in us. And our enemies are emboldened. So, you know, when I hear the president say these things, or, you know, when I hear the president say that he is the closest to a Jewish president that has ever existed, I don't know what kind of mystical world President Obama is living in to say these things, because everyone knows they're not true. I mean, here's a president who sent campaign operatives over to work against Prime Minister Netanyahu. We know about the disregard and disrespect that he gave to him when he came over to give the joint session of Congress speech. We know about the fact that during the last conflagration against Hamas, President Obama threatened to cut off the supply of Hellfire missiles to Israel. So why is he sitting around trying to make us believe, you know, things that we know are truly untrue?
Now, well, he's just truly delusional. We had this type of leadership back in ancient Rome and Nero, where the man just went totally crazy.
He was fiddling while it burned, and so we have a president that's golfing while our country and indeed the world is burning.
Doing the same thing, yes, modern times. Now, going back to the Middle East a little bit, you have our allies as they are, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, and Egypt, and I do believe there might be a couple of others joining them soon, who are actually holding conversations with Israel in order to try to contain not only ISIS, mm-hmm. but Iran.
Iran. Yeah. You're absolutely right. I mean, between Egypt and think about the fact that the Obama administration fully embraced Mohamed Morsi and the Muslim Brotherhood government in Egypt, but since they were deposed by now President, former General El-Sisi, the Obama administration has really given Egypt a cold shoulder, and they're trying to stand up and fight. The UAE is standing up and fighting. Jordan, who after the horrific, heinous burning of their combat pilot, you know, King Abdullah flew back and they started their attacks against ISIS positions, and they asked the United States for munitions and fuel for their fighters, and they did not get it. Egypt wants intelligence sharing. They're not getting it. You know, Saudi Arabia, when they decided to bomb the Houthi rebels who are backed by Iran and Yemen, they basically gave the United States of America about, 2 to 4 hours of notice before they started those attacks. Now, I'm glad to see these countries stepping up to the plate, but the fact that they are, you know, being disregarded and they are not coming to meet with the president, or they don't feel that they need to, you know, say anything or let the American president know the actions that they're taking, that's a huge reflection of the lack of regard and respect that they have for our president and for this country right now.
Now, you're down in Texas and, on our southern border, and there's been a lot of talk about, now I know that Saudi Arabia is starting to build a wall in order to try to slow down and keep out ISIS out of Saudi Arabia. And we're not doing that. We're not building our wall. We're not securing our border. But yet we found that there's at least one, possibly two, and if there's two, there's definitely more bases, terrorist training camps on the Mexico side of the border. One of them, you know, within 8 miles of our border. What is it going to take for us to wake up? Are the states, is Texas and Arizona and California going to have to go this alone and secure the border themselves, or what's it going to take?
Well, unfortunately, you know, it may take another catastrophic event. There is no doubt about the Constitution. The states have the right to be able to secure their borders and secure their population, their people, and their citizenry. You know, you look at the State Department that just put out the alert warning for all the violence that is going on down south of our border in Mexico, and, you know, telling our consulates and even the embassy down there to be prepared. The Mexican drug cartels, as long as you have the money, they will do whatever, you know, you want, and they will provide the safe passage for militant Islamic terrorists to come across our very porous border to get into this country. And when you talk and understand that the Border Patrol is operating you know, some 50 or 60 miles back off the border. That's not how you secure a border. You secure a border by being on that border, having good eyes and surveillance on that border at critical crossings. And we do need to have some type of barrier that can canalize and channelize people into certain areas where we can have the proper amount of aerial and ground surveillance, and we're not doing anything of the nature. As a matter of fact, you know, the report just came out today that the administration has released some 3,700 threat level one illegal immigrants. You know, these are violent felony type of individuals, and this is the type of thing that they say they weren't doing. And then we find out they're doing it. It is, again, Rod, you just wonder, you know, whose side are these guys on?
Now, with the border being that open and ICE is telling us that they have operatives in at least 15 states, and we know that we've caught, like you said, some very violent people who aren't all Latino, by the way. Some of them have been Middle Eastern. Is it really likely now, especially with Iran having more nuclear material than we originally thought, is a real and present danger now of a dirty bomb being entered into the United States and detonated?
Well, of course it is. It's not just into the United States. It's anywhere in any major Western civilizational capital or population center. And, you know, so many people are under this belief that it has to be some, you know, Oppenheimer type of nuclear bomb, you know, much the same as dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. But if someone can put a device in a suitcase and detonate it in, you know, Dallas or in any major urban center, you know, that's very effective. But even more so, we just wrote an op-ed piece here from out of the NCPA about the threat of electromagnetic pulse. What happens if from a ship you can shoot and detonate a nuclear device in the high-level atmosphere, let's say over the East Coast? I hate to tell you, Rod, that knocks out your power grid right now, that we are not doing anything to protect or secure. And so those threats are very viable. And these are the type of things that we need to have an administration, you know, thinking and talking about. Instead, we have Hillary Clinton in Houston, Texas, talking about voting rights when minority voting rights have increased since the 2008 presidential election. And we have a president who is, you know, talking about now, I just read the report, that we're going to resume releasing unlawful enemy combatants from Guantanamo, which you would have thought after these five Taliban that they scrambled to, you know, get them to stay in place in Qatar, we would freeze any of this releasing from Gitmo. But that's not what you do if you're an intransigent ideologue.
No, yeah, this I have, you know, I'm beside myself trying to figure out this current president, and I'm a little beside myself in trying to figure out who the Democrats are trying to put forth. They have a very weak field, I believe, as far as what they're putting forth.
Yeah, it's an extremely weak hand. If they were playing poker, they you know, are in real trouble. And I think that they're starting to understand that. I mean, if you go over and read some of the lefty blogs and everything, they're not really warmed over to Hillary Clinton. And a lot of the information that is being leaked out on her is not coming from GOP sources. It's coming from the left, because they want someone that is more so, you know, and along the lines of the Elizabeth Warren. They want to run what I call the political gimmick candidate, you know, the first of something, you know, the first black president, the first female president. But they want someone that's going to continue on this far left progressive socialist agenda that President Obama has set us upon.
Yeah, we are. I guess the Democrats are in trouble. At least I hope so come election time. Colonel, I know you have to run. One last question. It's kind of a sneaky question. Would you consider in the future running for president of the United States of America?
Well, look, you know, I always tell people that, you know, I live my life as best I can by, you know, the words in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 6, where it says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will guide your path. So, you know, I will be obedient to God and country, and however I can serve this great nation. And if the country needs a really good street sweeper, I'm happy to do that. If it needs a good dog catcher, I'll be happy to do that. You know, I don't know what the future holds for me. And who would have ever thought last year in October I would get a phone call asking me to consider being the president and CEO of this incredible 31-year-old policy center out here in Dallas? So we don't know.
All right. Sir, I really appreciate you joining me here this evening. I really appreciate your time, and hopefully we definitely will get a chance to meet when you come up here in October. I really look forward to it.
Yeah, I look forward to that. The 9th and 10th of October, I'll be up there in New Hampshire, and I think Nashua, and then also let's stay in touch and let's do this again.
I would love to. Thank you very much, Colonel. Have a great night.
Thanks, Rock.
Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Lieutenant Colonel Alan West, retired United States Army. Really appreciate him giving me the time this evening. And some of the things that he talked about, and look, I've been telling you this before. Now you can start to hear it. It's not just coming from me. You know, we have a porous border. We have a weak president who's nothing more than now at this particular juncture, a Nero-esque type of person. You know, he's out there playing golf and basketball all the time, and he's delusional in his thinking that we're now the most respected nation on the planet. I still have no idea where that came from. I am sure that his administration, his handlers, were probably sitting back, you know, in the background, doing a facepalm when he said that. You know, people always talk about how stupid George W. Bush was as president. And let's face it, the man was not stupid. But I know that there were plenty of facepalm moments with George W. Bush. So the man was not Ronald Reagan when it came to communicating with the public. He wasn't a wordsmith. Let's put it that way. But he wasn't an idiot. Now, we have the same type of thing and same types of facepalm moments coming out of this president, but nobody on the left wants to call him stupid or out of touch. Yet, he'll sit there and say that, yeah, we're the most, and it looked, when you're looking at the camera and he's looking at people, it looks like he really believes what he's saying. He's not just trying to placate people. That he really believes that somehow we're the most respected nation on the planet again. All the while we have ISIS thumbing their nose at us and telling us, well, you know, we've got operatives in at least 15 of your states, and we're, you know, whenever we want to, we can probably attack and blow up some of your cities. You have China and the South China Sea building islands, as you heard Mr. Colonel West talk about, and putting cannons and airports for military aircraft to land on these islands, and throwing the entire South China Sea in an uproar, including Vietnam. Now, you got to remember, Vietnam was once an ally of China, and now China's doing these types of things, and even is kind of ticking off Vietnam. How do you tick off your own ally? Well, you tick off your own ally when you really don't have an ally, because all you're really trying to do is take over your part of the world. And that has always been Mao's, objective, much as it was, you know, Lenin and Stalin's objective to take over the Western Hemisphere and Western Europe, with the Soviet Union. And those types of factions, now we have that type of faction in Islam where they want to take over the entire world and have a caliphate all over the planet. And those are the types of people that we have to deal with on a daily basis that our president just doesn't seem to get and think are, you know, dangerous to us. Look, hey, 20% more, you know, processed nuclear product in Iran than we previously thought. And I bet you, even though I'm not a betting man, you know, I bet you, you know, a nickel to Sunday that if we actually were able to do a full scope investigation within the borders of Iran, we would find that they have more than 20% more than we originally thought. They probably have a lot. In fact, they're probably closer than we think to having a nuclear bomb, no matter how small. And that doesn't bode well for anybody in the West, folks. Nobody. But yet, we're still the most respected nation on the planet.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. Call InventHelp today.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-352-1609. That's 1-800-352-1609.
If you want to work until you keel over, have less of everything in retirement, or give back more of your hard-earned money to the stock market again, then just ignore me. But if you'd like to protect the money you save, receive a steady, predictable retirement income, and enjoy financial security for as long as you live, then listen to this. You can download a free report that reveals the wealth-building secrets Wall Street and the banks don't want you to know. You'll learn how you can get guaranteed growth, safety, and real prosperity without risking your money in the Wall Street casino, and how to get the money you need when you need it, simply by asking for it. This is the best way to have a 100% secure retirement and know your money will last as long as you do. To learn more about this method and to get your free report, go to 52security.com. That's the number 52security.com. 52security.com. Go to 52security.com.
Hurt or injured in a car accident? It can be hard to take the proper legal action after a car accident, but waiting can cost you more. The law requires car accident victims to assert claims promptly. You could lose out by simply waiting. Call 800-709-4667 right now to see what your claim could be worth when handled by a skilled attorney. With a lawyer fighting and speaking up for you, you could be entitled to a big cash award. Call 800-709-4667. That's 800-709-4667. Now it's fast and easy to connect with the legal help you need after your car accident. Call 800-709-4667. The call is free, but you need to act now before time runs out on your claim. You need a lawyer to fight for you, protect you, and get you the compensation you need and deserve. Time's wasting. Call 800-709-4667. That's 800-709-4667. Call now.
I considered suicide so I wouldn't put my family through all the pain.
Many of our warriors are returning home from the battlefield, only to face a new war, as they struggle with devastating injuries. At Wounded Warrior Project, we understand. We're there to help.
Even though you think you're broken, you're not. It's the physical and the emotional healing that Wounded Warrior Project provides.
With a gift of just $19 a month, you can join Wounded Warrior Project. You'll help provide critically needed programs and services that rebuild lives.
Beautiful!
The ongoing needs of our wounded and their families will continue for many years to come. Now is the time to show your support. Call now or go online with your gift of just $19 a month and we'll send you this Wounded Warrior Project blanket.
It made me feel that there's people out there that care about us.
After this event, we can finally maybe start to heal as a family and move forward.
We need your help. The families are hurting.
For many of our wounded heroes, the greatest casualty is being forgotten. That's why your gift of just $19 a month is so important. Please call or go online right now.
You shouldn't have to pay to talk to the people closest to you, or the people who used to be. That's why Umbrella Wireless is proud to announce the new friends, family, and recent ex-girlfriend plan. Now you'll get unlimited calls to your best buddy, your mom, or Cindy, once she realizes that you're seriously meant for each other and should stop screening your calls. Now the 30 minutes of agonizing silence where you're both afraid to hang up may drain your battery, but it won't drain your wallet. And you'll get unlimited calls just to check if she still cares enough to pick up, with no extra charges. With the friends, family, and recent ex-girlfriend plan, your phone will automatically answer calls from your ex, because maybe she finally realizes that you're the only one for her and wants to get coffee sometime. Now, after lonely nights of looking at pictures of the road trip you took together when everything was great, your misspelled texts are absolutely free. The only thing you have to pay for is the booze. The friends, family, and recent ex-girlfriend plan. Because she wants you back. She just doesn't know it yet.
Show. Join me here live on the Rod Echo Show. I am still your local lovable host, L. Rod, still coming to you live. Hey, look, one of the things that, relating to, there's a couple of things here. I'm going to get to the Hillary Clinton thing. There's a new poll out on Billary and, their influence peddling. And some people will think that it's good, but I don't think it's as good as it should be, considering all the information and proof that we have so far on them. But the Air Force, now this is the power of social media, and especially Facebook. Now apparently, some ISIS boob, well, let's not call him a boob because he did us a favor. Some ISIS, a member of ISIS, took a selfie and posted it on Facebook. Well, it gave the location of an ISIS headquarters. And after the military, the United States military, caught wind of this and saw it, they figured out where the headquarters was. It's in Iraq. You know, we were in Iraq for years. We bombed Iraq a couple of times, and we rebuilt Iraq once. So it's a pretty good shot that we would know by looking at pictures that somebody would recognize it and say, "Oh, well, we know where that is." And so the United States Air Force went and promptly bombed and destroyed an ISIS headquarters off of a moronic post, selfie. Look, this whole notion that I guess it's even, this is, well, hey, this is why even, you know, places like Iran want to ban things like Facebook, because people get on this kick that they need to be somehow famous. And they need to self-promote themselves. Because I am just a little side note here. I got to tell you. You know, it is, especially when you're talking about the millennials, people under the age of 30. I am amazed. Now, I understand taking, I don't take selfies, really. I don't take selfies. I just don't. They're kind of awkward, I think, to me. I understand every once in a while you want to, you know, change a picture or show where you're at. And, like this, terrorist moron, and that's kind of okay. But this whole notion that every single day you got to take multiple selfies of yourself doing like driving a car, I could care less if you're driving your car. Why you got to take a selfie of you in your car? You're not doing anything special. Oh yeah, heading to work, click. Well, thank you for that. Do we really need to know? You know, I just want to tell you, if you take nothing but selfies of yourself and you don't put pictures up that other people have taken of you, you've got a problem. You need to get out more. You need to connect in reality more with your friends and family. You know, because if all you can do is take a selfie, and don't get me wrong, you know, I see some of my friends on Facebook and Instagram and stuff. Yes, I have an Instagram account. I know it's kind of weird. I don't know how to really use it, so. For myself. I'm not going to take a bunch of selfies. I just don't understand why that's necessary. I don't get it. I don't get this need for self-fame, this need for celebrity. There's no money in most. Well, I guess that's different. You know, I got to tell you, I have been getting people who have been, you know, taking me to task about this Caitlyn Bruce Jenner thing. Now, I thought I said my piece and that was going to be it. But boy, was I wrong on that one. I was wrong. Not about what I said. I was right about her, him, whatever. I was wrong in thinking that I would be able to leave it behind, say my piece and leave it behind, and that would be it. Man, I was wrong about that. Because, I said that this person, Bruce Jenner, is not brave and is not a hero to anyone with all of this craziness with this transitional tranny whatever stuff. And I thought I made my point very clear. Look, and whether or not you agree with the lifestyle, and whether or not you like them or not, transvestites, if you will, trannies, who, you know, men who have been changing themselves with makeup and surgery for years have gone out in cities that are quite dangerous for them to go out on the street looking the way that they look. And we know that some of them have been severely beaten and even killed simply because of who they are. Now, they're not heroes for what they're doing, but they are a lot more brave than a wealthy, you know, former Olympic star that married into a family who's famous for being famous. You know, if Bruce Jenner had not married Kris Jenner, would we really care about him coming out as Caitlyn Jenner now? I don't think so. I don't think he's all that brave, really. You're behind the celebrity wall where people can't reach you most of the time anyway. So what is so brave about that? What's brave is if you live in New York City, or if you live in Shanghai, or you live in some place like that, or Malaysia or something, and you're a man and you dress up as a woman, you go out on the street and you're risking your life and limb literally when you're out on the street. That's kind of, you know, some people might say that's kind of stupid, but that's a lot more brave than what Bruce Jenner did. I'm sitting in front of, you know, lights and cameras and discussing, yeah, I feel like I'm a woman and I've always felt like I'm a woman. And then all of a sudden coming out with this Vanity Fair, picture that makes you kind of look like, a movie star. It's Jessica Lange back in her glory days. I don't think that that's brave at all. It's not brave. And look, notice I took out the equation of other brave people, you know, like soldiers and first responders. Those people are brave and they're heroes. But I'm just talking about being brave and understanding the true meaning. See, the problem is that we're changing the meaning of words all the time, and nobody really knows what the words of brave, bravery, and hero really mean anymore. So it comes to mean whatever somebody wants it to mean in this social myopia. You know, that's what I call. Now, as I said, this, you know, there's a professor of psychiatry out there who says that transgenderism is a mental illness. Now, I know that we've used to have that, the whole thing about gays, but let's face it. For some people, it is a choice. And when you have, when it comes to transgender, when you have the rate of suicide is higher after their transformation than before, there's something wrong there. Something severely wrong. And you know what? That's all I'm going to say about Caitlyn Bruce Jenner, Bruce Caitlyn Jenner. I don't care. Call it whatever you want. There's more important things to discuss. Like 3,700, as Colonel West mentioned, 3,700 illegal immigrants. Threat level 1 criminals released into U.S. by Homeland Security. Look, folks, this is why we need our Second Amendment rights, because it's going to become the old West, and it's going to be, and look, it's simply because our government is not doing its job in keeping the public safe. And every time our states want to keep their citizens safe, well, the Obama administration is suing them, or wants to sue them, or threatens to sue them. And I say, enough of this. What the hell is going on in Washington, D.C.? Why is there such hate and animosity towards the American people? And why do so many people on the left are not seeing this? I mean, it is one thing to say that, you know, we need Bernie Sanders to give us socialism and that type of thing, but it is a totally other thing when you are trying to destroy your own country from within. I'm not talking about knocking it down a peg. I'm not talking about, you know, not making it so it is not an economic and military superpower anymore. It has gone beyond. I'm talking about total and complete and utter destruction of our society. Plain and simple. This is what these people seem to want, or this administration anyway. And for the life of me, I cannot figure out how he can find so many people to put in power and put in place in these cabinet positions and secretary positions that agree with him, that go along with what he's doing. Because, you know, if you disagree with the president strongly about something, if you say that, no, Mr. President, this is endangering the welfare and the well-being of the men, women, and children of this country, I will not do it. And I will not resign. You'll have to fire me. That's pretty much how you do it. But no, we've got these people who go along willy-nilly and say, you know, like Loretta Lynch, yeah, whatever the president says, I'll do. Are you kidding me? Where do we find this many boobs, airheads, nut jobs, self-loathing, self-hating people? I don't know where we're finding them all. And I didn't realize that there were really so many in this country that were willing to take the reins like that. But 3,700 illegal immigrants of threat level one? Criminality being released onto our streets? Most of them not even being sent back to the country from whence they came. Just being, you know, hey, they're illegal. Yeah, they'll find their way back home. Right, you know, we know, and yet we're told that we cannot round up, you know, a bunch of illegals. Well, obviously not if you keep releasing them. You're not sending them back. You know, you keep finding and catching the same ones over and over again. Well, that gets kind of expensive and boring. You know, and look, folks, it has come to the point where we have to understand that our federal government can't keep us safe. They really can't. Look, we just had a data breach of federal personnel data. Now, the Office of Personnel Management and Interior Department got hacked successfully. So, you know who's on, you know, all of the people that work for these departments, they're now exposed. Even those people who might be less than public knowledge that they're in certain positions are now exposed. Because, you know, well, you are talking about the Interior Department. You're talking of personnel management. You know, basically the human resources department of the federal government got hacked. But what are you going to do about that, Mr. President? Are you going to go and consider and still say that we're the most respected and we're safe? Are you going to play? You know what? Somebody should just ask the president. Mr. President, we're living in a very dangerous time right now, where, you know, we have ISIS, you know, threatening some of our allies, some of our close allies. We have open borders, and we have economic problems and all sorts of issues. We've got Putin over in Russia doing things to Ukraine. We've got, you know, China threatening in the South China Sea. Mr. President, for the remainder of your tenure in office, can you stay at the White House and run the country and be the leader and stay off the golf course? Somebody should ask him that. I'd ask him that if I could get in there. I really would. And I know the reason why I will never be allowed in the White House press corps. It isn't because I don't have credentials. It's because I would ask questions like that, and they don't want questions like that asked. In fact, when we see the White House, if the press corps asks the president or others in the White House some really straightforward, tough questions, they get upset, as if to say, how dare you ask us those kind of questions? How dare you ask us serious questions? And they get indignant about it. I've never seen an administration get so indignant about reporters actually doing their job by asking real and tough questions? I have never seen an administration get this upset this often. You know, and that's from the president on down. And it's gotten to the point where now that even some, you know, of the left-leaning journalists, and I use that term very loosely, are starting to say, hey, you know, you really should answer our questions now. And people who are asking the questions, there's a lot less animosity towards the people who are asking those tough questions. They're not running cover for the president anymore. They're not saying, ah, no, let it alone. Sit down. What are you doing asking that question for? You know, you're being rude or what have you. There's less and less of that happening. I know every once in a while you hear, well, you let them finish the question or answering the question. There's less of that. And I think that's happening more to protect Hillary now than it is Obama. And because you're getting the left that is, well, they're trying to say, you know, well, we gotta come up with some way to bring Hillary to the forefront, because she's fallen fast. You know, she's really falling fast. This is supposed to be a slam dunk for her. Now it's not a slam dunk. And it is in such dire straits. It is in such dire straits. You know, that they're looking for. Look, you got Lincoln Chafee that just jumped into the race. I mean, really? O'Malley and now Chafee? Hey, these are, well, in your other strong candidate, I guess, is Bernie Sanders out of Vermont. So, really? And then you also have, you know, them wanting to draft Elizabeth Warren. Elizabeth Warren. I don't. You know, it is unbelievable. You would think that they would have somebody in, you know, backup. Somebody with a better name recognition, better cred, who's had more accomplishments and has a little bit stronger of a chance of actually winning the White House than the current field of Democrats are fielding right now. I mean, I can't remember the last time the field of Democrats was this weak. Now, don't get me wrong. It does not mean that they cannot pull out a win. You know, because, you know, the Republicans have been known to self-destruct before. Happens. And that's it. I do not fear Hillary winning. What I fear is Republicans self-imploding. And, you know, look, just as the last time around. You know, the election and the nomination this time around was Hillary's to lose, and she's losing it. And so likewise, you know, the presidency to be gained in 2016 is there for the taking, you know, just to pick it up by the Republicans. They can't, you know, lose it. Well, they can lose it. But it isn't going to be because based on a very strong Democratic contender. The way that the Republicans would possibly lose the White House race in 2016 is if they lose it. It's theirs to lose. Plain and simple. And if they implode and blow it up, you know, that's the only way that they're not going to win it. There is nobody on the left side that should even come close. I mean, really. If it's Hillary, it should be the biggest landslide in the history of landslides in this country. If it's any of the others, I mean, they're so weak. O'Malley, Chafee, Sanders? Really? The man is 78 years old. And he's a kook. And he's a communist. I mean, it's kind of like running Ralph Nader. This is I don't know. Well, you know, we still have a lot of time left between now and the nomination process is done and the election comes. Still have a lot of time. You know, the Democrats could end up finding and throwing up a very strong and powerful contender. Don't know who that is. I don't know who it is. I mean, maybe other people know who it is, but I haven't really been looking because, you know, who is it? Joe Biden? If they throw up Elizabeth Warren, man, you know, she's also going to be wide open on a national basis. I mean, she should have been beat by Mitt Romney, but, you know, it is what it is there. Or, yeah, was it Mitt? No, I'm sorry. It's Scott Brown. She should have been beat by Scott Brown. But that is what it is. I mean, again, that was really a race for Scott Brown to lose. Scott Brown had that race in mess, and he lost it. He blew it. And then he tried to regroup and move to New Hampshire and then take on Gene Shaheen, and he lost it there too. Well, you know, and that's the Republicans' fault. You don't do a retread like that. We could have beaten Gene Shaheen if the Republicans hadn't just given the nomination to Scott Brown. See, this is how they lose things. They do stupid stuff like that. Now, as long as they don't do something stupid, is a very good, you know, then we're going to have the White House in 2016. But that's the thing that I fear, is Republicans doing something stupid. Because they always seem to do that. When you least expect it, expect them to do something stupid. And they'll do something stupid enough to piss off the voters and to blow up their chances of gaining a great victory. That's plain and simple. They've done it before, and they will do it again. They've done it plenty, but, you know, there's a plethora of times you can go back in history over the past century and see the Republicans, you know, blowing themselves up, basically. When they had a win, you know, and they screwed it up and blew it up. And then you have, you know, then they whine and complain and say, well, see, you know, nobody wants the conservatives. Well, that's not true. Yeah, the people do want a conservative, true conservative, because you can't be a wannabe liberal. Because if somebody's going to choose between a true liberal and a liberal light, they're going to go for the true liberal every time. Why? You know, it's like Coke's the real thing, right? So why go for the imitation when you can have the real thing? By the way, I prefer Pepsi. So, you know, why go for the imitation when you can have the real thing? Why go for the light or diet version when you can have the real thing? So as long as the Republicans don't do anything stupid, then they can easily retain the House, retain the Senate, maybe even pick up a seat or two, and win the White House. It's theirs for the asking. All they have to do is just take it, not screw it up. Because who else are they going to... Well, really? The only way that Hillary becomes a strong contender is if she wins the Democratic nomination and Republicans, because she's a woman, do not attack her on her record. Any of her record. Including that as a Secretary of State, including that as Senator of the State of New York, including that as First Lady, including that as a First Lady of the State of Arkansas. I know it's Arkansas, but I like saying Arkansas. It's sassy to say Arkansas. In her time at the Rose Law Firm and all that, look, people who meet this woman and work close with her, we're finding out these people don't like her very much. There's a lot of people out there that Hillary Clinton has worked with closely in the past that don't like her because she's just a nasty woman. So, you know, if you're a Republican, that's what you got to hit on. Her record and her nastiness. You'll win every time.